America did not exist. 4 centuries of work, bloodshed, loneliness, and fear created this land. We built America, and the process made us Americans. A new breed, rooted in all races, stained and tinted with all colors, a seeming ethnic anarchy. Then, in a little time, we became more alike than we were different. A new society. Not great, but fitted by our very faults for greatness. Excuse me, Mr. Twain.
What's that?
Perhaps you recognize those inspiring words from one of America's great writers.
No, Dr. Franklin, I don't recall writing anything like that.
Oh, my, of course not. They're from the pen of John Steinbeck, back in the 20th century. Why, it seems he has nearly the same spirit as the founding fathers themselves.
Well, listen to the proud elder statesman.
Mr. Twain, pride is one of our national passions. Even those who overcome it are proud of their humility.
Easy now. I was born modest. Fortunately, it wore off. Dr. Franklin is our genuine American antique. I suppose our story begins with you.
Actually, it started long before even my time. It started when dreams and visions of a new world were shrouded in the myths and legends of an old world. Finally, through those early mists of uncertainty, sailed the first great adventurers. This tiny ship is the Mayflower, carrying pilgrims in search of their dream, a dream of religious freedom. So, if you'll pardon an old man's pride, for me, this is the beginning of the American adventure.
There's a land across this ocean I'm waiting to see. A land for these people who dream to be free. So stand by the mainsail, the fierce storms will race. Aloft with ye mates, our King Neptune will face. You think that these land lovers never would last. This cargo of pilgrims, 12 weak for the mast. It's land ho, me hearties, at last we've arrived. And praise be to God, nearly all have survived. But a look o'er this wilderness brings me to dread that the first bitter winter may leave them all dead. They call themselves pilgrims, these poor wretched souls, with a dream to be free in the new world their goal.
Yes, far from welcoming the early settlers, this land severely challenged them. It was a struggle for survival that gained but a tiny toehold in a vast, untamed wilderness. In the decades that followed, a new challenge began to emerge. They were growing more and more apart from the mother country. Passion began to govern, and she never governs wisely.
Ha! The British think it's fools we be. If they tax our trade, then our land will be next, and soon all else be possessed.
Tell me now, you ask defense against the French and the Indians. Should you not help pay for it?
Parliament's colonial policy is both arbitrary and unjust.
That's nonsense. The same tea that costs you 3 shillings a pound costs us 6.
First, we spoke out with our voices. Then we spoke out with action, with a growing defiance that led to the Boston Tea Party.
Hear ye! Hear ye! By royal proclamation, His Majesty King George III hereby sends...
Look at this! They're closing the harbor!
But surely we can work something out. Our king feels we've wronged him.
Your king, you Tory! Either we cut the ties with England, or we surrender!
Finally, the time had come to speak with one voice in a declaration of independence.
Ah, good evening, Mr. Jefferson. Have you finished the new draft yet?
Those are new drafts all over the floor, Dr. Franklin. It seems one stroke of this pen brings two changes from Congress. I told you John Adams should have written this.
Oh, by his own admission, you can write circles around him.
Mr. Adams has not been prisoner in this loft for 17 days. I shall continue tomorrow.
You must continue now. Thomas, it is difficult to make 13 clocks chime at the same time, but we must carefully justify this separation.
Dr. Franklin, while you slept soundly through the meeting this afternoon, we did manage to justify separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights,
not a ration amongst us. Now we can forage for hickory nuts.
Aye, while the English overindulge in our Philadelphia's fine food and drink.
Tis a strange war we shoulder, George Washington. Congress sleeps warmly in York.
And the British party in Philadelphia.
We freeze or starve to death here in Valley Forge.
The things of Valley Forge, my boys, forever we must hail. We fight the cold with rags on our feet as the lobster backs regale. But the time will come when they'll be on the run and their ships will homeward sail. Oh, it's a great delight to march and fight along the victory trail. It's a great delight to march and fight along the victory trail.
In the end, we the people prevail. And achieved perhaps our greatest dream. 13 very different colonies became the United States of America. And we were free to become an entire nation of dreamers and doers.
Westward bound, Dr. Franklin, to new frontiers.
To the age of Samuel Langhorne Clemens.
Well, I like to think Mark Twain was part of all that. Sir, Dr. Franklin, you founding fathers gave us a pretty good start, don't you know? We still had some things to learn the hard way. Seems a whole bunch of folks found out we the people didn't yet mean all the people. Folks like Frederick Douglass.
Even amidst the cricket song here along Mark Twain's beloved Mississippi, I hear the noise of change. And the crack of the whip. Yet, there is hope. Hope born from the words of Harriet Beecher Stowe. Uncle Tom's Cabin has given our nation a key which can unlock the slave prison to millions. Anti-slavery is no longer a thing to be prevented. It is grown too abundant to be snuffed out. Like a lantern.
troublemakers like Douglas got us into this mess.
We only wanted freedom, not war.
Well, listen to my abolitionist brother.
What?
Pa, he's gonna make a real good Philly Yankee.
We got a good cause, Johnny Reb.
Why, both of you? You're gonna ruin Ma's birthday.
No, no. Ain't nothing gonna ruin today. We're all together. That's what counts. Now, you go ahead, Mr. Brady.
All right, everybody. Oh, real still now.
Great Chief Joseph reminded us once again of our long, painful journey through the frontiers of human liberty.
Telephone, the true hallmark of progress.
Aha! Behold the proud Scots.
That's right. Carnegie Steel built this place.
Aye, and it'll soon build a new concert hall for New York.
Oh, Carnegie Hall, eh? It'll never last. Donating libraries. Andy, that's a grand idea.
It's an age for grand ideas.
An era for innovation.
A dawn for new awareness.
A time to challenge the frontiers of a new century.
Century on the wings of invention and the winds of change. But our America, the beautiful, she was changing too. We needed people like Teddy Roosevelt and an outspoken naturalist, John Muir, to get our attention.
Beautiful. Bully beautiful. Those falls are magnificent.
Aye, Mr. President. But it won't last if the timber thieves have their way.
John, you may be right, but the country's growth is putting a tremendous demand on our resources.
Any fool can destroy trees. Why, for more than 3,000 years, God has cared for our giant sequoias, saved them from drought, disease, avalanches, and floods. But he cannot save them from fools.
Now, John, you know I can't ask lumbering to stop completely.
All I ask is that we stop massive destruction. What will our children inherit? Seedlings?
Of course not. I realize we're not building this country for a generation alone. I know we've got to expand our parks.
Then start it here and now. Make this valley a part of Yosemite National Park.
Well, I guess we needed those national parks. Seems the simple life of my day was slipping away. Ready or not, we were soon thrust into the hectic role of a world leader and into the war to end all wars.
Non-stop hours after his departure from New York, Captain Charles Augustus Lindbergh successfully landed his Spirit of St. Louis in Paris last week. Lucky Lindy's solo flight across the Atlantic has certainly placed him among the greatest in a long line of American pioneers.
Today, October 29th, 1929, Wall Street became America's greatest wall of rubble. This stock market crash has tarnished the golden dreams of millions.
Once I built a tower to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Spare a dime? Sure, buy four of my apples and I'll loan you back the 10 cents.
Hey, Sam, I heard tell there's New York millionaires are selling apples too.
You mean ex-millionaires, don't you?
Hey, it looks like the storm's finally letting up. Yeah, maybe the Sunday drivers will come out hunting for gas.
Ain't many folks pay no 18 cents a gallon.
Hey, listen, fellas. Old FDR's been in Auburn.
The whole truth, frankly and boldly, this great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So listen to all. Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
right. Folks could use a little prosperity around these parts.
Yes, sir. Before this depression, we sure had enjoyed special blessings.
Hold it.
But you I think it seems to be that we was a mighty cocky nation. We'd begun to believe that the height of civilization was an automobile, a radio, and a bathtub. Of course, now we're a whole lot smarter. Now Congress wants to trim down the Navy so it'll fit into the bathtub, too. You know, it seems to me like we're the only nation in the world that waits till we get into a war before we start getting ready for it.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date that will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces.
Time.
Twain, what do you think of our America now?
I think the Founding Fathers never dreamed of an America like this.
Of course not. We weren't dreamers, we were visionaries. That is why our Constitution withstands the rigors of time.
Easy now, Dr. Franklin. This nation's still just a youngster, don't you know? Why, some countries have been around for 50 centuries. We're barely into our third.
That's true. Look what we've accomplished in that tiny span of time.
My dear doctor, earlier you found John Steinbeck so inspiring, but he also sounded this warning. We now face the danger which in the past has been the most destructive to the human. Success, plenty, comfort, and ever-increasing leisure. No dynamic people has ever survived these dangers.
I may have invented these bifocals I'm wearing, but I can assure you they are not rose-colored. Mr. Twain, the golden age never was the present age, but with human liberty, we can fulfill the promise and meaning of America. To everyone a chance, believed Thomas Wolfe. To all people, regardless of their birth, right to live, to work, to be themselves, and to become whatever their visions can combine to make them. This is the promise of America. Mr. Twain, it is easy to see, hard to foresee, but I foresee the American adventure to continue a long, long time.
America, you must be free.
We hope you enjoy the rest of your time in the World Showcase and all of Epcot.
Like what we do best.